Next service, we need nursery workers at the 11 o'clock hour. Melissa is gone. My wife is doing junior church this week, and she's scheduled for today, and Mabel calls, and she's sick. So the two people that were supposed to be in the nursery at 11 o'clock won't be here today. So, well, Chris will be here, but she'll be back with the junior church children. So if you want to stay over, you can. If not, we'll rustle someone else up a little bit later on. I want you to stand with me when you find 1 Samuel chapter 8. I want to preach a message, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about the will of God today on a phrase that I said last Sunday morning. When I get done preaching, I go home, and I'm on my way home. I usually meditate on the message. And I don't know why. I guess most pastors do that. But as I was thinking about it on the way home, I said, you know, I made a statement in there, and I want to explain that statement that I made in that message. So we're going to start here. My main message is going to come from chapter 12, but I want to give a little bit of foundational work. The Lord gave me this just when I was doing my devotions Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning. And I said, you know what? I really need to preach on this. Anyhow, so I trust God gave it to me, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Let's start here in the first 9 verses to get started in 1 Samuel. You read along. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. And said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of thy people and all they that say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Now, Lord, I pray that you would add your blessing to the teaching here today through this particular section of Scripture. May you use it for your glory. May you use it to encourage all of us, because all of us probably at one time or another have not been in your perfect will. And I pray, God, that you would use it to encourage us to get doing what we're supposed to be doing, for your glory and honor, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So the statement I made, I mentioned this a moment ago, but I made a comment, and I said something like this. Some people say I missed the will of God, and God called me to preach, or God called me to be a missionary, or God called me to do whatever it is, and I missed that, and I didn't do it. So I said, this is the statement I said. I said, so what? Do it now. Now, I didn't mean it doesn't matter that you follow the will of God. I can see where somebody could misinterpret that. And it doesn't mean it to be disrespectful to the will of God either. And I do want you to look at a couple verses with me. Put your ribbon here. I already did. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I want to try to explain what I meant there. When you come here, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now I want you to notice this, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now you'll notice there are three things there. The good and, my phone's still on. Woohoo! Somebody better, Faith, go shut, oh, I can do it, I think. I just got a silent mode on. Good. Anyway, there's three things there. That's the first. That's why I don't bring my phone into church. Did you hear it dingle? No, I heard it dingle. Anyway, I think it was mine. Maybe it was somebody else's. But you've got the good will of God, and you've got the perfect will of God, and you've got the acceptable will of God. I've heard people interpret that as you can be in one of the three. I've also understand it to be this. The perfect will of God is acceptable and it is good. But for application ways, I think you could make a case for both cases. Now, in 1 Samuel, let's go back there now to chapter 8. The people of Israel wanted a king. Was it God's perfect will, and let's make this clear to start with, was it God's perfect will that the children of Israel had a king? No, it was not. Samuel had been a prophet and a priest, and he's getting older. He's made his sons judges there in verse number 1, but his sons didn't turn out so good. You read there where they did, you know, they took perverted judgments and they took bribes and they were in it for filthy lucre and all of that stuff. So verse 5, the elders of Israel, they came and they said, your boys really aren't any good. And they were right. And they said, now give us a king. It was not God's perfect will to give the children of Israel a king. And so Samuel didn't think that it was the right thing to do. God confirmed in a couple of verses we read there, in verses 7 and 8, that it certainly wasn't the right thing to do. So he goes to the Lord, he prays about it, and that's what God chose him. But God told him in verse 7, he said, hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee. He said, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me that I should reign over them. So God wanted to reign over them. But Samuel, God basically told Samuel this, Samuel, if they want a king, give him a king. Now, Samuel was right. This isn't really what God wants for you. But God said, they've seen me work on their behalf. They've done this. And he goes on and gives some history there. But at the end of verse 8, he said this. Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they do also unto thee. Samuel, they're rejecting your advice. They've already rejected me. So in verse 9, now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them. So they want a king, go ahead and give them a king. So Samuel told the people what God had said. He also let it be known it isn't the best thing to do. You can read verses 11 through 18 there if you want to. And they're talking about how, you know, they're going to tax you to death, and they're going to take this, and they're going to take the other thing. And in verse 19 it says, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. Now, why'd they want a king? Verse 20, that we also may be like all the nations. Why'd they want a king? They wanted to be like everybody else. You could say, as far as application, they wanted to be like the world. They wanted to be like everybody else in the world. And what our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. But who was supposed to be their king to do all that for them? The Lord was. So he goes on in verse 20, and Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. Now we want to be like the world. By the way, did you notice in verse 5, it said pretty much the same thing. Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. So two times that's mentioned there. Now we come to chapter 9. God's going to send Saul. He's going to be Israel's first king, and he's going to send Saul to Samuel. And you can see, when I was doing my devotions, I wrote in that chapter, over the top of that chapter, I was going to preach from my Bible I read from and show you how I mark it all up, but I didn't bring that Bible. But the providential hand of God. It's amazing how God works. I will point out a couple verses. Look at verse 9. I think that's the verse. Before time in Israel, when a man went to the inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer, for that he is now called the prophet. So the seer and the prophet's the same thing, was before time a seer. Then I want you to notice in verse 11. And as they went up unto the hill of the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, is the seer here? And you go on and you read this story, and it just so happens that those maidens were there. And anyway, it's amazing how you can see the providential hand of God in this. I'm just trying to save a little bit of time. Verse 15, now the Lord told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, and God was working there, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people because their cry is come up unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake unto thee of this same shall reign over my people. And then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me into the high place, for ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And so Samuel's going to anoint this man to be king. Samuel shared the word of God with Saul. I want you to skip all the way down to verse 27. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid thy servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. And so Samuel was both a prophet and a priest, but he's got the message from the Lord. He's going to anoint Saul, and he shares with him the word of the Lord. Now when you come to chapter 10 in verse 1, Samuel goes ahead and he anoints Saul. Now, I want you to notice a few things in verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. So God's going to turn Saul into another man. But this really wasn't God's perfect will for them to have a king. And let verse 7, and let it be when these signs are come unto thee, that thou shalt do occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. So God says, you know what, I'm going to give him a king, but I'm going to give him a new heart, I'm going to make him a new man, I'm going to be with him, verse 9. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. Now it all looks good right there, verse 19. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulation, and have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And so, was it God's perfect will for Israel to have a king? No, it was not. But was it going to be God's acceptable will? Yes, it is. That's what I want to show you here this morning. Now, verse chapter 11, I'll just read a little of this before we're trying to make our way to chapter 12. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead, and all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, this is wild story. On this occasion will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes, and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. Now that's kind of a strange thing. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel, and then if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul, and told the tidings in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd of the out of the field, and Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. Now, they told Saul what was going to happen. Now watch what happened in verse 6. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard these tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. He had righteous indignation. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And then in verse 7 it says, he took a yoke of oxen, and he hewed them in pieces, and sent them throughout all the coasts of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the people, and they came out with one consent. So now you got the fear of God coming on people. That's a good thing. Verse 12. And the people said unto Samuel, who is he that said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death. And Saul said, there shall not a man be put to death this day. For today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. So while it wasn't God's perfect will, God was going to say, okay, and he's going to be acceptable unto him. Then said Samuel to the people, come and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made King Saul before the Lord in Gilgal, and there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. And everything really, it seems to be going pretty well so far. But now we come to chapter 12 of 1 Samuel. And Samuel speaks here, and this is really where I want to get my message from, but that was all background. Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. He said, you wanted a king, you got your king. Now, when I read this the other day, I titled over the chapter in my other Bible, the word grace. This is a grace chapter in the Old Testament. God extending grace to his people. He asked the people, Samuel did, he says, have I ever hurt you or done any wrong to any of you? And they said, no, you haven't. His testimony, if you read verse 4 there, is above reproach. And they said, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he hadn't done anything bad to these people at all. In verses 7 through 10, you can read that, he reviewed a little history to them. It wasn't just a history lesson. There was a reason for he does it. But if you look at verse 9, and when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, a captain of the host of Hazar, and under the hand of the Philistines, and under the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. But there were times that Israel had forgotten about the Lord. Now, they got your king. Let me ask you a question. And there was times, obviously, there where they got out of the will of God. Is it ever God's will that we forget him? It's never God's will that we forget him. Does God ever forget us? Praise the Lord, God never forgets us. So he chastised them, what happened to verse 9, and he brings them back, and it worked. They confessed in verse 10, God delivered them in verse 11. But then if you look at verse 12, and when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said to me, nay, but a king shall reign over us. Now, this is after the history lesson that Samuel had given them. And he said, the Lord your God was your king. And what Samuel's telling them is basically this. You know what? You guys have done this before, but now you're getting out of the will of God. God was their king. They were to follow God's guidance, but they wanted to be like the world, and they wanted a king. And some people say, Pastor, maybe they just weren't sure, and that's why they wanted a king. But listen, the prophet had already told them. Samuel had already told them this was a mistake. But you know what? They weren't listening. And I said this last week, I think. To be in the will of God, you need to be listening. Now, God doesn't speak to you audibly like I'm speaking right now, but God speaks to our hearts. Now, this sermon, to be honest, I did almost no research for this as far as any other books or anything like that. I was just reading my Bible, and God was just showing me some stuff out of the Word of God. And I want to tell you something. Aren't you glad that when you read your Bible, God can speak to your hearts? The problem isn't that God doesn't speak. The problem is that God's people don't listen. Well, I want to know God's will. Fine. Are you reading His book? And I know I said this, but the number one way God speaks to us is through His Word. Reading, preaching, other Christian books that are written by reputable authors. I was witnessing to a lady recently, and she says, we should only read the four Gospels. And I said, what? And then she said, and really the only words that matter are the ones in red. Well, not every Bible that I have is a red letter edition Bible, but I didn't tell her that. But that's all. I said, I got a book from a doctor. And this doctor gave me this book. She couldn't remember the author's name. But it said, we throw all the rest of the Bible away, all the church epistles, all the Pauline epistles, all the Old Testament, and we only read the four Gospels. And she's all messed up. Okay, we're to read the whole Bible. And they're supposed to in other books, but make sure they're from reputable authors. Now, you need to read it. Because listen, God speaks to us as we read His Word. Now, sometimes He speaks to us more clearly and more special, I don't know any way to say that, than He does other times. But God speaks to us through His Word. How do I read it? Why do I read it? By the way, this is the key habit of the Christian life, reading the Word of God. It's very important. I'm going to give you a couple of reasons why. I'm going to just rattle them off. Because it tunes the heart to spiritual things. It gets your mind and your heart set on the spiritual things. It gives direction for living. The Bible gives you, it tells you what to do, it tells you what not to do. It demonstrates a fear of the Lord. I'm going to read the Bible because I have enough fear of the Lord in my heart that I want to read it and I want to know what He wants me to know. It directs your focus to God. Shouldn't our focus be on the Lord? You're going to learn your Bible truth on your own, and I promise you it'll bless your heart when you learn Bible truth on your own. And then you'll have fellowship with God. And some people say, well, I just don't have enough time. But to all new believers, it might even be good to use a devotional book. But the Bible is the book. It's the main book to read. We need to have the right equipment to do a job, and the right equipment to have an effective quiet time is a Bible, a pen, a devotional book, and a notebook. So the reason I wanted to bring you my other Bible that I read from in there, because when I was reading all these chapters in Samuel, I was marking things and circling things and putting star by things and bracket around things. And I probably could preach this message from what I did without even having any notes. But you got your Bible, and this is what the professionals say. I have no idea how they do surveys on this, by the way, or how they know this. But they say you remember better if you have a pen in your hand. Don't ask me where they get that from. I'm just telling you what I'm told, okay? So if you sit there this morning with a pencil or a pen in your hand, you'll retain more of what I say than if you don't. Why? I got no idea. You'll have to ask the professionals. I'm not one of them. But so you get your devotional book out, and you look up the scriptures, and you read the scriptures in the devotional book. Some of them, they have a little one-line Charlie thing in there, but I prefer the ones that actually give you a passage of scripture and say, just read this passage of scripture, and then after that, you read the devotional book, and it kind of helps you zero in on the thought of that passage, especially when you're a new believer. Then you meditate on the passage that you just read, and you think about it, and you read it over, and you meditate on it, and you say, wow, God, this is awesome. And then you try to make personal application for your life. God, how do you want me to apply this to my life? And most people fail there. Most people, after they're done reading their Bible, they close it and they walk away, but they don't really make a practical application for the day. And then you might even want to decide on specific things that you will do today and write it all down, and then you're going to spend some time in prayer, and you're going to praise the Lord, and you're going to wait, and I'm going to skip some of this, but you're going to have a great time in your spiritual walk with the Lord when you learn how to spend time reading His Word and highlighting your Bible. You might even want to sit there with a highlighter if you don't like to use a pen and a... I prefer a straight edge, but I don't always have them. The lines get crooked. That's just a quirk of my own. It's one of my OCDs, okay? But you get a pencil and a Bible and read that Bible. A good, effective quiet time is absolutely necessary so we can daily adjust our mind and our heart and our life to the things of God. Well, Pastor, how long? Well, it doesn't have to be long. 10 or 15 minutes to start, maybe it's fine. But it'll grow as you grow personally in the grace of God. And sometimes in these Bibles, when you get into the stories like these, you know, you'll read a chapter and then you just got to keep reading because the story gets, you just get into the story. So you just keep reading. Now, how else does God speak? There's preaching. I need to listen to preaching. Somewhere in your Bible, you ought to write that in there. I need to listen to preaching. You know, God speaks to preaching. We went to, Chris and I, we had a great time last night. We went out to Dan and Nancy Smith. That was their 40th year anniversary of their being pastor and senior pastor at Buckley Road Baptist Church. And so they invited a bunch of pastors. We're real good friends with them and close, and our wives went. And we had a great time. He's been preaching there faithfully for 40 years. But you know what we did? Now, this is, you know, a lot of his churches there, obviously. And there's a lot of pastors there as well. But you know what we had last night amidst all this? Preaching. A guy from Heartland Baptist College. By the way, that's a great college for ministry people. But Heartland Baptist College, and the president was there. He preached a tremendous message. But I need it, you need it, we need preaching. That's why I can never figure out why people don't go to church. They need preaching. Other Christians is the way God speaks to you that are more mature than you. The prompting of the Holy Spirit of God, that still small voice of God, as Elijah said, the prompting of the Spirit, that's how God speaks. We need to be open and listen. The Israelites back here, they weren't. God had spoken to this group of Jews. They weren't listening. God wasn't the problem. They were, and their spiritual antennas weren't up. Now, I hope yours are up this morning. So they got their king. Now, let's go down to verse 13. Now, therefore, behold the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. Even though it was not exactly what the Lord wanted, and God said, you want a king, I'll give you a king. I want you to look now to verse 14. If you will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, Then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. There I wrote grace. God said, it's not my perfect will that you have a king. But I'm going to say, okay, you can have a king. But then Samuel comes and he goes, look, God's done all these things. I really don't understand why you want a king. God's fought your battles for you. And he told them all about their history. But he said, if you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and don't rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord. Now, isn't that a blessing? You can be out of the will of God, but you don't have to stay out of the will of God. You can get back in the will of God, and you can serve the Lord. So that's why I said, so you missed God's will back there. So did Israel. And that's why I said, so what? I know it's a bad thing, but you can follow God. Today's a new day. God's a God of second chances. Aren't you glad that God is a God of second chances? I want you to think about your life for a minute. And go back. I don't even know how far you have to go back. Hopefully a long time. But go back in your mind and say, I blew it right here. Okay, get over it. God can never use me again. I'm done. I'm washed up. That's it. Woe is me. Listen, tell your mind to shut up, okay? And just get on serving the Lord. That's what's going on here. Today's a new day. What do? Well, he said, fear God. And he said, serve him and obey him. Just don't rebel against him anymore. And just keep following the Lord. Now, I want to encourage you to keep following the Lord, even if you've messed up. Don't get discouraged and say, I blew it. And that is what it is. Well, maybe you did blow it. But you don't have to keep on blowing it. You can follow the Lord. You've heard the phrase, you can get back in the saddle and live a godly life. Some of you have gone through or perhaps are going through some difficult seasons in your life. But God is still God. Confess to the Lord your situation. Get up and follow him. Now there's a warning in verse 15. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Listen, don't just stay, don't forget about me, God said. But I will say this, it's not necessary for you to walk away from following the Lord again. It wasn't necessary for Israel. So they said in verse 19, and all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we will not die. For we have added unto us all our sins this evil to ask a king. They got to the place in their life, and maybe you need to get to the place in your life where you said, I've added this evil also. Now, you might not say it like that, but that's the way they said it. They finally recognized, you know what? It was not God's perfect will to give us a king. But we asked for it, and God said, okay. Look at verse 20. This is another word of encouragement. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. I just love this verse. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord, how? With all your heart. Man, that's grace. Aren't you glad that God is a God of grace? And aren't you glad that God is a God of second chances? And let me encourage you to keep following the Lord, even if you think or even if you know that you've missed God's will somewhere. You don't have to miss it again. You can get in the will of God now and you can follow the Lord now. I can do that. You can do that. Now, here's the right response. Number one, be thankful. After Samuel had reviewed their history in verses 6 through 8, they should have been grateful. He said, remember when Moses brought you up out and God delivered you out of the land of Egypt? Oh, yeah, that's right. God did do that. Remember when Joshua had you guys go into the promised land and you had victory after victory after victory after victory? Oh, yeah. God did do that. Kind of forgot about that too. You know, it's a good idea every once in a while to go back in your life and review and meditate and think about some of the past blessings that God's brought into your life and learn to be thankful. What's that hymn say? Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. If you go back and do that, yo, God did this, God did that, God did that. Be thankful. They should have been grateful. Now, don't nod your head no. Has God ever been good to you? Don't nod, don't say no to that, okay, because that'd be bad. But has God ever been good to you? Be thankful for that and don't forget it. It would do all of us well to meditate on the goodness of God and be thankful and thank Him and praise Him more and more. We're coming up on Thanksgiving season here pretty quick. Let's learn to be thankful people. This is more than a history lesson, though. It's also kind of like a court trial. Look at verse 7. Now, therefore, stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord which He did to you and to your fathers. Reason has the idea of to decide in a case of what's that word they use in a courtroom? Begins with an L. They litigate. Litigation. I'll get it after a while. Litigation. Stand still has the idea, stand up, because court's in session. Samuel was going to prove that the Lord had been righteous and faithful in His dealings with Israel, but the Jews had been faithless and disobedient. God made a covenant with them. He made promises to them. He delivered them. He took them into the promised land. He gave them victory after victory, but in verse 9 it said, and when they forgot the Lord their God, they had forgot all those good things that God had done. He sold them into the land of Syria, captain of the host of Hazar, and under the hand of the Philistines and under the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtoreth. They even did that, by the way. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies that we will serve thee. And here's God's grace again. He said, and the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelled safely. Now, they should be thankful. God was good. They asked for a king. They shouldn't have. I circled this word in my other Bible in verse 14, if. Because if you do, it goes one way, and if you don't, it goes the other way. We're to serve the Lord. You get out of the will of God. Get back in the will of God. Do this. Here is how Israel ought to have responded to the blessings of God, being thankful, and that's how we ought to. And then I want you to notice, secondly, there in verse 14, he said, fear the Lord. You express gratitude and trust Him for His continual care. You just have a good, wholesome fear, respect, awe of the Lord. Now, you say, well, I just blew it. But all is not lost. God cannot desert His people. This is my favorite verse in this chapter. Look at verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake His people, and here's why. For His great name's sake. Because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. Now, there are two things in that verse that I really like. The first thing is this. The Lord will not forsake His people. Didn't the Bible say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee in Hebrews? And then the end of the verse it says, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. Isn't it a blessing just to think about? It pleased God to make us His children, to make us His people. And why did He do it? He did it for His namesake. Samuel said, how about we pray up a storm in dry season in verses 17 and 18? Now, why is He going to do that? Because the miracle is going to remind of what Moses and Aaron did. Samuel is proving to the people that God could do anything for them if they would simply trust Him, obey Him, and fear Him. And a mere king is helpless apart from the Lord anyway. That's the end of verse 14. Be thankful. Fear the Lord. Stand in awe of the Lord. Thirdly, he mentions there in that same verse 14, obey Him. Listen, accept past failures. Make the most of where you are right now. Some have asked what they wished for, and then they wished they would have never asked for what they wished for. I don't know if I can say that again or not, but I'm going to try. The Lord wouldn't reject His people because of the covenant that He had made with them and because of His great faithfulness. Now, we've studied this an awful lot on Sunday evenings, and we're going to continue a little bit more. But are we new covenant people? We are. If we're Christians, we get to participate in the new covenant that God said he was going to make with Israel, yes. But you and I, branches were broken off that we might be grafted in, is what it says in Romans. So we're part of that. If you're saved, God's made a covenant with you. And he's going to be with you. God's purpose was to use Israel to bring glory to his name, and he would fulfill that purpose. And if they obeyed him, God said, I will bless them. Listen, God has a purpose for me. God has a plan for me. God has a purpose for all of you. God has a plan for all of you. They made a mistake. They sinned. They even said it was evil. But God would help them if they feared him and obeyed them. Obey them, bless them. But he said, if not, well, yeah, I'll have to chastise you. But you don't have to walk away from God. You can enjoy the Lord. You can enjoy the things of God, and you can get in his will, and you can serve the Lord there, which he did mention also. He also said, serve. Get busy in the work of the Lord. God's not done with you. Do something for the glory of God. I don't know what it might be specifically or particularly, like I said last week, but God has something for you to do. What's he want me to do? I said, volunteer, do something. Now, when we consider the great things that God has done for us, how could we really do other than fear him and thank him and serve him and obey him all the days of our life? And when we mess up and we get out of the will of God, you know what? Just get back in it. The Bible says in Proverbs, I can't give you the address, somebody can look it up. The just man falls 7 times, but he rises up again. Now, you don't have to fall. That doesn't mean when you fall 7 times, you won't fall again. You might be up to 8 or 9 or 10 by now. I'm probably way over that. But you know what he does? He rises up again. He just says, and God accepts that. Now, listen. You find something to do for the glory of God. I want to read a few more verses here in this chapter just because I like them. I want you to look back at verse 14. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king reigneth over you, continue following the Lord your God. But that wasn't God's perfect will to have a king. But God said, it'll be your acceptable will, but you still need to follow me. Let me read verse 20 again. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness. They admitted they did it. He said, you have, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. That ought to encourage all of us. Then look at verse 21. Turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. Don't go after those type of things. Just follow the Lord. And then verse 22 again. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Now let me say this. Are you out of God's will? Get back in it. Is there something in your life that doesn't belong there and you know it doesn't belong there? You might call it evil. You might call it wickedness, as the words that are used in our text. Get it out and serve the Lord and get busy worshiping God. I asked this a moment ago. Are you in the new covenant? God made promises to you, just like he made to Israel. He's made promises to us. He promised to deliver you from sin. And if you come to him in faith, he will. And for a lost person, that's true for you. If you've never come to God, if you've never come to God through Jesus, God will save you from your sin. He also allows us to get our lives back in tune with him. And that's what I've preached about mostly this morning. When a Christian is outside the will of God, God allows you to get right with him and to get your life lined up with him again. Now, here's a simple question. Do you need to do so? Do you need to do that? Do you need to get your life back in tune and in line with the things of the Lord? where you are thankful, where you fear him, where you obey him, and where you serve him. Because you, listen, God saved you for his own name. That's why he did it, for his glory. You're here to glorify, well, you know that. You're here to glorify God. That's why we're here. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that if there be one or two or however many here that have been outside of your will, not walking with you the way they ought to be walking with you, Lord, I pray you'd speak to their hearts. I pray that you would encourage them, that they don't have to stay defeated. They don't have to stay discouraged. They don't have to stay depressed. They don't have to stay down. You can lift them up. And I pray you will. Obviously, we have human responsibility. We need to confess. We need to forsake. We can't continue to rebel. That's obvious. But Lord, you will accept us. And you can use us again. And I pray if there's anybody here in that condition, they feel like they missed your will. They got out of the will. And now it's hopeless. It's not hopeless. It's not helpless. They can follow you and they can serve you. And Lord, I pray they will. I really pray they will. Because I know it's your will. And it would be honoring to you. So please take those that need this message the most and drive it through your spirit. Drive it into their hearts. So they walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Faith is going to play. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you've never trusted Jesus and you're not part of the new covenant, I want you to come and trust him right now. And if you are, have you ever got out of God's will and you're at the place in your life now where you need to get back into God's will? Do it. Just do it. Confess, forsake, and do it. Simple formula. Believe the Lord can put your feet on higher ground? Yes. All right, me too. Now let's get out there and do it. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the wonderful Old Testament illustration we have. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody down or discouraged about their walk with you, may you encourage them in the Lord. That you're not finished with them. You have a plan. Sometimes we blow it. Sometimes we get out of the will of God. Israel did on multiple occasions. But you sent deliverers, and you sent the judges after this, and or before this, and then you sent the prophets, and now you gave them a king. But you deliver us for your own great name's sake. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your providence. Thank you that way you direct us and guide us, and your word tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And there may be some people here today that need to hear from you, so they get direction for their life. May they open up their spiritual antennas, and may the Spirit of God prompt them to follow you in the area that you would direct them. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving. And all God's people said, amen. All right, we'll go get a cup of coffee and get ready for Sunday school.
He's supposed to come on Veterans Day.
I heard that.
Do you know if he came or not? I just remember I haven't talked to Mel about what.
I don't think he did. Ask Mel.
He was supposed to come on Labor Day first.
Yeah, I don't know why he's got to come on a holiday.
Because he's a teacher.
I'm not sure.
Because if he...
Jack's right, Mel.